and thank you for allowing me to be here. I'm the only preacher with two computers, so bear with me a little bit. Today we're going to talk about something that one of my professors at MSOP told us we should speak on. It's a topic that I don't think he even came up with, and it's three dogs of the church, and I believe it's something that many congregations have to deal with, and he says it's pretty practical, and I agree. So let's look at this lesson. My mission today is to kind of inform you on something that you already know, the kind of people that are in the church, and we're going to use the animal, the dog, to describe these people. And I believe it's because someone decided to call someone a watchdog in the church, and a preacher decided to make the sermon based on that specific thing. Now, there are three kinds of people in the church. Three kinds of people, one of which is the watchdog. This one is the one that stands up for what is right. They stand up for what is right, even to the point of confrontation. Is it right, though, for a member to confront someone for doing something that may be spiritually wrong? Is it right? Well, we'll look at that in this lesson. Our next is the quiet hound, rather the toy terrier. We'll do the toy terrier first. The second is the toy terrier, and this one is one that rebukes the watchdog and thinks that the watchdog should not be confronting people for anything, and they think they are out of line. The question is, are they right for thinking this? Is it out of line to actually confront someone? Maybe it's not your business. Maybe that's what they think. You know, you should stay out of my business or stay out of other people's business. Maybe that's what they think. Finally, we have the quiet hound. The quiet hound is the one that basically doesn't say anything. They are always indifferent about everything. They don't have much to say about anything at all. And so we're going to go through each of these types of dogs of the church. The watchdog will be our first point, the second point, the toy terrier, and finally, the quiet hound. I am commanded to preach the word, to be instant in season, out of season, to reprove, to rebuke with all long-suffering and doctrine. 2 Timothy 4:2. Let us always seek to give God the glory due His name. Let us always seek to worship our God in the beauty of holiness. Psalm 29:2. The watchdog has a natural instinct to protect. He wants to protect his territory, his owner, and anyone in his circle. The watchdog is loyal. The watchdog is fearless. The watchdog is strong and, of course, watchful. He has a heightened sense of smell, a heightened sense of hearing, and a heightened sense of an intuitive sense to come across danger. If he should come across danger, he can sense it. Now, people refer to certain individuals in the church as watchdogs, and it's simply because they are active in trying to protect the church. And they want to protect it from false doctrine, from false teachers, from any sinful activity. If they see it, they call it out. They can be annoying for this in some ways to some people. Others consider these people to be problematic. And they say, these people think they are holier than thou. And these are things I've heard people say before about certain people. They are holier than thou. They say they are out of line. Many think that these people just need to be quiet. Just keep quiet. These are the so-called watchdogs of the church. Watchdogs. Do you think these people are out of line, as some suppose? Let us explore the scripture and see what the Bible has to say. It is most interesting that they decide to call these people watchdogs. It's interesting that they describe them as watchdogs, keeping in mind that these are humans. They decided to use the watchdog to describe them. And if you think about it, they should have called them watchmen rather than watchdogs. When we look at the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse number 17, when we think that about a watchman and a watchdog, they pretty much have the same function, but they decided to call these people watchdogs. Let's see what Ezekiel 3:17 has to say. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the words at my mouth, and give them warning from me. This is God referring to Ezekiel as a watchman. What does a watchman look like? Well, a great example is Paul. Paul, in Galatians chapter 11. Galatians chapter 11 and 11 through 14. Chapter 2, rather, 11 through 14. Galatians 2, 11 through 14. Let's see how Paul deals with this situation. In Galatians 2, verse number 11, it reads, "But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to blame. He was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing they which are of the circumcision." Verse number 13. "And the other Jews disassembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas, good old Barnabas, also was carried away with their dissimulation." In verse 14. "But when I saw that they walked not uprightly," he saw this, "not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews?" He was being two-faced. And Paul confronted him. You know, Paul may be considered a watchdog. Paul may be considered a watchdog by many. However, Paul is seeking to save Peter's soul, as well as Barnabas and anyone else who's involved. He's also looking at those who are watching this thing happen. And so he's trying to protect the church, trying to save souls, trying to get people to be on the straight and narrow. God states what is at stake for both the watchmen and those being watched. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 3, and we're going to go down to verse 18. And 21. Ezekiel 3:18-21. He continues what we read earlier. He says, "When I say to the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not the warning, nor speak it to warn the wicked from his wicked ways, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at your hand. Why? Because you didn't give him the warning. You didn't warn him. His blood is now on your hand. He goes on to say in verse 19, yet if I warn the wicked, and he, yet if thou rather warn the wicked, and he turns not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered your, you've delivered your own soul from hell. Isn't that interesting? Again, verse 20, when a righteous man doth not turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because thou hast not given him the warning. He shall die in his sins, and his righteousness which he had done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Goes on to say, nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man, that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely die. He shall surely live, rather, because he is warned. Also, thou hast delivered your own soul. So whether it's a righteous man, a Christian, or a wicked man, someone who's just purely evil, they're trying to do something against the church, I believe this standard still stands. God requires us to stand up for what is right, no matter what. And so, being called a watchdog, that may not be a bad thing. As long as you're doing what a watchdog is supposed to do. We are all called to be watchdogs. Application. If a brother or a sister is caught in some sin, or there's someone trying to teach false doctrine in the church, or someone from outside trying to come in and bring it, whether it be Christians or an outsider, we are responsible, all of us, for being watchmen or watchdogs. Galatians chapter 6. 1 and 2. Paul reminds the brethren in Galatia. He says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one, but do it in the spirit of meekness, considering your own self, lest thou also be tempted. He says, we are to bear one another's burden. He says that is how we fulfill the law of Christ. And so as Christians, we are called to be watchdogs. We are called to be watchmen. We are called to stand up for what is right, always, even to the point of confrontation if it comes to that, like Paul had to confront Peter. Next point. The toy terrier. Toy terriers are generally small, active breeds. The toy terrier never generally grow bigger than a puppy or a medium-sized dog. The toy terrier typically makes a lot of noise. They like to bark. And sometimes they howl a lot. Some of them even challenge bigger animals. Animals that they could never win against if they got in a fight. But this is the toy terrier. They bark sometimes when nothing is going on. They just, yip, 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 yip. Nothing is going on and they're barking. Many are quiet when they really should be barking. They go in a corner and hide. The toy terrier, they are normally benign dogs. You don't have to worry about the toy terrier. And they are unable, generally, to defend themselves against anything, for that matter. They're not able to back up their bark, basically, right? Some people in the church may be similar to the toy terrier. Not in the way they look, but in the way they act. Some people act kind of like the toy terrier. For example, some people complain a lot. The toy terrier. Some people complain a lot, and we'll call them the complainers for this in this lesson. Some talk and talk about the problem, and they claim to know the solutions, but they're never willing to lift a finger to help with it. These ones we'll call the critics, the ones that tend to know all the solutions but never want to do anything. Then you have, finally, the gossips. The gossips are the ones, of course, that has a lot to say about a lot of people. We know that one. Now, these all can be likened to the toy terrier. But when we think about those who complain, there's an example, a really good example throughout the Old Testament of complainers. And we know these people to be the Israelites, God's chosen people. And I went through a number of scriptures to find out how many times they murmured against God. And not all of them, just a number of them. And when we get to Exodus chapter 5, verse 21, they murmured against God. Exodus 14, 11, 12, they murmured against God. Exodus 15, they murmured against God. Exodus 16, they murmured against God. Exodus 17, they murmured against God. Numbers 11, they murmured against God. Numbers 16, same thing, murmur. Numbers 20, same thing. Numbers 21, Deuteronomy chapter 1, even in the book of Psalms, it is recorded that Israel murmured against God. They were complainers, yapping terriers, toy terriers. They complained constantly. Paul reminded the Philippian brethren in Philippians chapter 2, verse number 14. In Philippians 2 and 14, Paul says, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." Paul is encouraging the Philippian brethren not to be complainers. Because if they're going to be complainers, they can't be that light that he's talking about. In order to be that light, you must not be complainers. Sometimes Christians complain about everything. There are some Christians that complain about the roof. They complain about the carpet. They complain about the pews. That's not the right color. This color doesn't go with that color. They always can find something to complain about. Are there any complainers in your congregation? Well, I know there aren't any here. Complainers are in a lot of congregations, but we must be careful that we are not the complainer, because complaining is sinful. Another way people can be similar to toy terriers is they can be critics. They criticize pretty much everything. Someone says, a critic is one who knows the way but does not know how to drive the car. A critic is someone who always knows the answer. They have the answer, but they're not willing to lift a finger to do anything about it. I could recall some time ago, we had something in a congregation, and all the work was on one gentleman, and this gentleman in the pew, he insisted that the bus need to be available for this particular thing. And so the person said, well, you just volunteered. No, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to drive the bus. But I do think it needs to be available. Well, who's going to drive it? There's no one. You're the only one who thinks it needs to be available. So why don't you drive it? Nope, he didn't want to drive it. Which is interesting. A critic knows the way, but in this case, he does not want to drive the car. Matthew 23, Jesus talks about the scribes and Pharisees for pretty much the whole chapter. He says in verse number 1, it says, then spake Jesus to his disciples, saying, the scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you, observe, he says, and do it. But don't do the things that they do. Don't follow after what they are, what they're doing. He says, for they bind heavy burdens, verse 4, and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders. But they themselves will not move them with one little finger. These people know the way, but they don't want to drive the car. That is the critic. The next one is the gossip. The toy terrier likes to make a lot of noise. And the gossip sometimes like to talk about everyone, and it's not something that they don't have something good in mind when they do it. Now, I've known some people who said something about someone, and they kind of whispered it, and then they ended it with, so pray for them. You know, the kind of, it's not gossip, I'm just telling you to pray for them. That does not mean it's not gossip. If you're talking about a fire, you must be talking about the bucket, the water, and who's going to help put this fire out. Otherwise, just talking about the fire, whatever is on fire, is going to burn. If you're just talking about, wow, that fire is so big, that's going to consume everything. Oh, man, and it's so hot. Man, I can feel the heat from here. And this and that and the next thing. But you're not willing to put it out. It's going to still burn. It still will burn. It will consume everything. And if it spreads, it'll be worse. And so you want to be a part of putting the fire out. Not talking about the fire. That's useless. In the book of 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 13. And withal, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house. And not only idle, but tattlers, also busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. This is the gossip. Gossip is poison, and it can be very damaging. In fact, the gossip itself can be the cause of the fire. In verse number 3 of Psalm 141, it says, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, and keep the door of my lips. James talks about the tongue and how it's such a small member. but yet it's so powerful, like the rudder on a ship. When you think about a ship, where we live, we see ships all the time passing by, huge ships. The rudder that turns those things is so small, but it can turn the whole ship around. That's the tongue. Very small, but very, very powerful. And so we must be careful with how we use our tongues. The toy terrier. Next and final, the quiet hound. The quiet hound. This is the hound or the dog that's indifferent about most things. If a stranger comes in the house, they can pretty much take everything because this dog is just going to lay there and watch them. This is not the dog you want to use to protect anything. In fact, he probably wouldn't even bark. I saw a movie where someone went in this place and they just robbed everything and the dog just lied there. And at the end of it, he gave the dog a treat and laughed. It was kind of funny. That's the quiet hound. They never really say anything about anything. They see things going on in the congregation and they just sit there. I could recall being in a class many years ago. I was teaching this class every Sunday in this little tiny congregation. And there was this lady, and she never said anything in the class. So I decided I would ask everyone their opinion on everything every Sunday. Any question I had, I would ask, what are your thoughts? And then go down the line. I figured I'll get her to speak. She's going to say something. Every single Sunday after Sunday, no, I don't have anything to say. And she would say it really low. Like, I don't have anything to say. I don't have anything. And when I wrote this, I was thinking about her. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. But this is that person that never has anything to say. And I don't know that she wouldn't have anything to say if there was something going on in the church. This is just the class setting. But some people, they're just there. They're just sitting in the seat, and they're just there. Just like that dog, just lying there. He couldn't care if you're taking or bringing things in. It doesn't matter. He's going to just lie there. Some people are there, and they don't care if it's good. They don't care if it's bad. They have nothing to say. And Edmund Burke said, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. Evil is triumphant when good men refuse to do nothing. Imagine the victory Satan would have if Christ refused to do nothing. If Christ came to this earth and just looked at everything, and just observed everything and just left, how would that help us? It would be useless to us. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 6. It talks about Christ. Paul says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Christ came and he did what was necessary for us to have salvation. But what if he came and did nothing? Where would we be? All tyranny needs to gain a foothold is for people of good conscience to remain silent. That's Thomas Jefferson. Men only need to be like this quiet hound in order for Satan to get a foothold. Congregations sometimes go through different things. Why? Because we are people. And people, we are people that came out of the world. And there are some things that our BC days before Christ try to come back. Some things that try to come back. And we sometimes have to wrestle them. But sometimes we need help. We need a watchdog to help us with some of these things. But if there are no watchdogs, we could lose that battle. I was told at PTP about a gentleman who had an alcohol problem. He was addicted. And he eventually became a Christian. And for several months, he didn't drink. But he ended up back on the bottle again. And he struggled back and forth with being an alcoholic for 10 years before he completely quit. 10 years, but he didn't do it alone. In fact, he probably wouldn't have survived it if that brother that helped him didn't help him. There was a brother that went to him every single time when he slipped. And he encouraged him to come back for 10 years. And eventually, he was to the place where he was able to help others. The quiet hound would not be able to help him. He needed a watchdog. The congregations need watchdogs. 1 Corinthians 5, 1 and 2. Paul says, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not as so much as mentioned among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. There was a watchdog, and I don't know if they confronted this person. They probably did, to no avail. So they went to Paul and told him about the situation. They weren't just watching the fire burn. They were calling, they called the fire engine to come and put the fire out. That was their mission. Verse number 2, and you are puffed up and have not rather mourned, that he that had done this deed might be taken away from among you. There were so many people who were silent on the issue. I know of a congregation where a gentleman was sent to one of the islands in the Bahamas to work in a congregation. He was sent by one of the congregation to another congregation to do some work. And they didn't hear from him for a while, so two other guys went to see what was going on. He found a woman. He was a married man. And he found himself a woman on this island. He eventually married this woman. He, his wife, and this new woman attended the same congregation. And I am told one morning he got up and he asked the congregation, does anyone have a problem with my situation? No one dared to stand and rebuke that man. And now he, his wife, and this new woman, who he claims to be his wife, attends the same congregation. Quiet hounds, the whole congregation. Quiet hounds. We need watchdogs. In fact, sometimes you just need one watchdog. Just one to call it out. Paul said, yeah, puffed up. That's what was going on in this congregation. I never thought I would see Corinth in the Bahamas. But I'm seeing it. We are called to stand for truth. Not sometimes, but at all times. We are all watchdogs or watchmen. We must be willing to defend the church, to defend the truth, to rebuke brethren in a loving and gentle way, to restore order. That's our job as Christians. Are you a watchdog? Are you a toy terrier? Or are you a quiet hound? Which are you? You are called to be a watchdog. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. If you have any needs at this time, you may come as together we stand and sing.
Have thy own way, Lord. Have